After Mrs. Wharton has thoroughly taken Anne to task for Charlotte's tantrum, in full view of the discomfited guests, she orders Anne back to her duties. We trail just behind them as Charlotte murders the roses. I bend down and say sweetly, "You mustn't break the roses, Lottie." She stares at me with hateful eyes.
"You're not my mother."
"That's true," I continue. "But if you don't stop, I shall be forced to tell your mother."
"Then I shall say it was Annie who broke the rose."
To demonstrate her power, she throws a rose at my feet. How delightful. What a pleasant child. "Here we go," I whisper in Anne's ear. "Lottie, you mustn't hurt the roses," Anne says, as sweetly as possible, "or the roses might hurt you."
"That's silly,"
she breaks another. She has moved to a third when Anne says, quite firmly, "Don't say I didn't warn you." She waves her hand over the roses, summoning the magic I've bequeathed her. Charlotte's eyes widen as the decapitated blooms fly free of their broken stems. They rise in a sparkling red spiral. It's a lovely effect and would most likely make a point all on its own, but it is important to impress the little beast thoroughly. The roses fly quickly toward her and hover for only a second above her astonished face before they descend in full attack, the thorns pricking her arms, her hands, her legs, and her backside several times. Charlotte screams and runs for her mother. The roses lie back down. I can see the girl pulling on her mother's arm while rubbing her sore bottom. Within seconds, a whimpering Charlotte drags her mother to us. Several guests follow to see what the commotion is about.
"Tell her!"
Charlotte cries.
"Tell her what the roses did! What you made them do!"
We give Mrs. Wharton our most innocent smiles, but Anne's is the biggest.
"Why, Lottie, what do you mean, dear?" Anne asks, all concern and worry.
Charlotte is having none of it.
"She made the roses fly! She made them hurt me! She made the roses fly! She did!"
"My goodness, how did I do that?" Anne chides gently.
"You're a witch! And you are too! And you!"
The guests chuckle at this, but Mrs. Wharton is chagrined.
"Charlotte, such an imagination! You know how Papa feels about fibbing."
"It isn't a fib, Mama! They did it! They did!"
Anne closes her eyes, spinning one last charm.
"Oh dear," she says, examining Charlotte's face. "What are those spots?"
Indeed, small red bumps appear on the child's face, though they are nothing more than an illusion.
"Why, it's pox,"
a gentleman says.
Oh dear,"
Mrs. Wharton says. A ripple of concern passes through the guests. No one wants to be near, and though Mrs. Wharton fights to hold on to her perfect party, she's losing her grip. Already, wives are tugging on husbands' sleeves, making their excuses to leave. And then it begins to rain, though Anne, Felicity and I can take no credit for that event. The brass band stops playing, the carriages are brought round, the guests scatter, and the children are ushered to the nursery by Mr. Wharton. We are left blissfully alone.
"Oh, I should like to relive that moment again and again," Anne says, as we take cover under a pergola draped in grapevine.
"Witches,"
Felicity says, in imitation of Charlotte, and we snicker behind our hands. "Still," Anne says, a note of concern creeping into her voice, "she is only a child."
"No," I say, "she is a demon cleverly disguised in a pinafore, and her mother deserves her utterly."
Anne considers that.
"True, but what if her mother believes her?"
Felicity tears a blade of grass in two.
"No one listens to children, even when they speak the truth," she says bitterly.
The doctor arrives and makes his diagnosis. Chicken pox. As Anne has never had it, he orders her away from the children and the house for 3 weeks. Mrs. Nightwing agrees to host Anne until she can safely return, and we have our friend packed and in our carriage within minutes. Mrs. Wharton objects strenuously to Anne's leaving.
"Couldn't she stay on?"
she says, as Anne's case is secured to our carriage.
"Indeed she cannot,"
the doctor insists.
"It would be very serious if she were to contract the pox."
"But how will I manage?" Mrs. Wharton pleads.
"Come now, Mrs. Wharton,"
Mr. Wharton says.
"We've a nurse, and our Annie will be with us again in 3 weeks' time, won't you, Miss Bradshaw?"
"You'll hardly notice I'm gone," Anne answers, and I do believe she rather enjoys saying it.